My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on 92.9 FM. You can also listen on 680 AM if you're by the radio. But if you want to keep up to date with everything going on right here on 92.9 FM ESPN, you can do so by downloading the Odyssey app. It's free to download. It's free to listen. All you got to do is subscribe to 92.9 FM on the Odyssey app. You can keep up with everything going on right here on the station. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company, as he is on Tuesdays and Fridays, is, of course, Tim Murray. He's the host of VSiN Primetime, airing weeknights on VSiN. You can always watch on YouTube as well. Also, VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast, new episode dropped today. Also, check him out on Saturdays, 9 a.m. Central Time, VSiN's College Football Betting Tailgate Show. He's on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Howdy are you, man? Solid performance from the Memphis Tigers this weekend, as they're now 3-0, baby.
I think the thing that was remarkable about that game was just kind of how unremarkable it was, right? Yeah. Like they were the better team the whole game. They led the whole way, and it really wasn't that fluky.
No, 100%. And this is not a Florida State show, so we don't need to get into that. But yikes, you keep trotting that dude out there, quarterback, okie dokie. But I'm sure Memphis is thrilled about that result, and it continues to make this race to the New Year's Six that much more fascinating to me.
Well, we've also had some other races that are now even more fascinating. We, of course, now are getting reports from John Canzano that Memphis is being targeted by the new Pac-12. We're going to get into that. Also, John Canzano is going to join us here in about 30 minutes or so. So, John, the best way to describe it is John is to Portland what Jeff is, what Jeff Calkins for our audience, Tim, is to Memphis. Has his own radio show.
Yep.
He's longtime columnist, now has his own Substack. So he's going to join us. No one better on the Pac-12 to discuss all this with than John. Pleased that we were able to get him on here in about 30 minutes or so. We'll get into the list. Tim has decided that he's ready to push back on all the Kirk Cousins hate. We'll discuss it. I think there's something even bigger going on also in the NFL through 2 weeks that I want to discuss as it pertains to quarterback play and kind of what we're seeing just from style of play, because I think there's a couple explanations, but wanted to just talk that out. We'll do that during the list. Since John's going to join us here in 30 minutes or so, we'll move our college football awards to the second segment of hour number two. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But let's start first with the news that I believe John broke on Twitter. This from Tim Buckley's story over at the Daily Memphian, recapping everything that has happened today. Well-sourced Oregon sports writer John Canzano reported Tuesday that those two schools, they being Memphis and Tulane, quote, have emerged as the top targets of the Pac-12 as the conference prepares to take a second bite of the expansion apple, end quote. According also to unidentified sources, the two AAC programs are expected to be among the topics discussed at a midweek meeting between the leaders of the Pac-12's growing membership. Additionally, according to footballscoop.com, sources confirmed to Football Scoop that Memphis officials are keenly interested in an opportunity to join the Pac-12 and exit their current conference membership in the American Athletic Conference. Also important to note, it's Pernetti is the new AAC commissioner. I keep wanting to say it's Tony, but I think I'm just mixing it up with Patelli. Because now every conference commissioner, apparently, the new conference commissioners have to have Italian sounding, like Tony.
Tim Pernetti.
Tim, I was like, I knew it was with a T. Tim Pernetti is scheduled to address reporters a little bit earlier, the last 15 minutes. I've not seen an update on that. Also, he was at Ryan Silverfield's coach's show last night. That's really? that's a fun little fact. According to Tim Buckley, Memphis officials declined to comment on its conference situation while in Tallahassee last Saturday for the Tigers' win over Florida State. A Tiger spokesperson did not immediately respond to a request for comment made on Tuesday to the Daily Memphian. Also, Bruce Feldman of The Athletic and Fox Sports reported on Saturday the Pac-12 has indeed some interest in Tulane and Memphis. Of course, these are the next two names to arise for Pac-12 membership, with the obvious Oregon State and Washington State are the current two members. After reports last week that the Pac-12 was taking Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, San Diego State, so now they're up to six members. Tulane and Memphis would give them eight. And Tim, I believe eight is what you need for a conference. But I also think it seems likely that this is not it. So where do you want to start?
Is this the right move? I think that's the obvious question. You know, if you're Memphis and all the reporting says they're interested, and if you're the Pac-12, this seemed logical. What their next move was going to be. You know, UNLV, I think, makes a lot of sense for that conference. I think there's some government deal, public officials kind of in the way of that, where,
it sounds like to me like the state of Nevada is having its government operate like this is college athletics like 15 years ago. Like, if you're going to take one, you're going to take the other.
Yeah, and remember, that's what, I can't remember if it was Oregon or Washington, but one of those states was basically saying that for a while, and then
Cal did too. Remember when, like, you're not taking, they were trying to threaten the Big Ten, like, you can't take UCLA and not take Cal. That was what the state government was saying. That went well.
We ran through all that, and obviously, I think if you're the state of Nevada, where I live, why not say, hey, take both of them, you know? And, you know, maybe they will, but UNLV makes a ton of sense, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about Memphis. I think it's the right move. I mean, you got to figure out what the television deal is going to be. Obviously, that's what runs the world nowadays. You know, San Diego, you're looking at the markets that they're acquiring here, right? So it's, you know, Colorado State, not too far from Denver. San Diego State, which we talked about, I want to say a year or two ago, when we thought that before the Pac-12 completely fell apart, that they would just fill the spot of UCLA and USC. They went down to the wire and ultimately stayed in the Mountain West. Now they're gone. I think this makes sense for Memphis to try to hitch their wagon to the problem is they're not going to be a Power Five conference, right? So if you're Memphis by name,
I think it's fair to say this. It is highly unlikely to be a Power Five conference, but it is not a certainty.
Yeah, I think because everything. So this would be for the fall of 26, and that's when, from my understanding, everything with the college football playoff changes again.
Yes.
Where we might get 14 teams instead of 12. We might remove the conference, the games on campus sites, all of that. But hey, if this means more money and more exposure, then yeah, I think you do it. And, you know, the AAC this year for Memphis, as you're trying to make it to the college football playoff, you look around, and if you're taking Tulane with you, this conference has already lost UCF and Cincinnati
UCF, Cincinnati, Houston. I know Houston. It's easy to forget them, but they were good in basketball.
Right. I think this is the move you have to make. And it seems like the Pac-12 is, I don't know. I mean, we were talking about it off air. I mean, it would be a great coup. I know football runs the world, but like, can they convince Gonzaga to come to the Pac-12 finally? I don't know. I mean, you know much more about the West Coast Conference than me going to an institution there. They have a sweetheart deal with that conference. They essentially run the conference. They don't have a football program, but you know, I'm sure for Memphis and their fans, that would be pretty awesome if it could be Gonzaga, San Diego State, and Memphis. That's a pretty good trio of college hoop programs in that conference. And then if you add, you know, UNLV and Nevada, Nevada has had some good teams over the years. Steve Alford's still there as their coach. So you've got some pretty good. Boise State has made it to the NCAA tournament as an at-large. Colorado State too. So you have the makings of a pretty good basketball conference too for Memphis, which has got to be exciting.
Yeah. So the simplest answer to your question is I don't know, simply because we don't know.
They don't have a TV deal yet.
We don't know what the financials are. Right. We don't know what hammering out the price to get out of the AAC would be. So if they were to leave, like, you're supposed to give, I think, something like maybe 20. It's like it's not quite 3 years of notice. And if you do it then you have, I think you owe $10 million. But I believe, if I have my numbers correct, when Houston, UCF, and Cincinnati left, I think they paid $17 million. And that was just like, you know, they wanted to get out and get going. So there's also the question of, okay, how much does it cost to get out? Right now, the AAC has the best G5 TV deal.
Yep.
But you have to suspect that, you know, I would presume that there's a media consultant involved in this for the Pac-12 telling them,
as it wasn't the former one.
Well, as long as it's just
it's not Larry Scott.
Yeah, as long as it's not him. But, I mean, like, who would have ever thought taking the, I think it was the,
Apple?
I want to say it was the women's tennis, the WTA. I think he was running the WTA, and then they wanted him to run the Pac-12. Like, that was bold. He'd convinced everyone that they were going to go sell their own TV market or their own TV networks individually, and they were going to make way more money. Good call, buddy. So you have, I think there's also this complicating question where, okay, I used the example because we've been buying a new house, and you can have a media consultant says that if you package all these teams together, this is their media rights would be worth this. You know, let's say it's $15 million. The problem is you now have networks that seem way less trigger happy on buying up college properties, at least. I mean, that is kind of the reason why we are where we are with the Pac-12 is that the Big 12 shrewdly realized, hey, there's not going to be two TV deals. There's going to be one TV deal, and we're going to jump the line because the Pac-12 has already basically said no to that TV deal. We're going to jump the line. We're going to take that TV deal, and then we're going to let the Pac-12 fend for itself. Well, it turned out that was correct. Now, I do think what we're starting to see right now is, because you and I have talked about it, like, late night slates are getting lighter and lighter. And so perhaps these TV companies will be more willing to accept because it's going to be a lot of late night inventory. And there that makes it more attractive from that perspective. So you have that reality going. But
how involved too, you got to think about it this way. TNT and Turner are getting involved now because they don't have the NBA or whatever it's going
to
be.
They're likely to lose it, yeah.
Light package, whatever it ultimately is. So they, as we saw, they purchased two games from ESPN for the college football playoff to put on their airwaves. They've got a, let's call it what it is, a pretty garbage slate of games right now with the Mountain West. I could certainly see the Pac-12, whatever it ultimately is, being I don't want to say exclusively on, you know, Turner, but that's not a bad home to have potentially for football and college basketball if you're going to get, you know, pretty good spots on TNT, which everybody has, TBS, everybody has, and True TV, which we all find in March, but now we might find it more regularly. I could see if Turner is trying to continue to have live programming, live sports programming, I could see them getting a decent deal. That would be my guess right now. And, you know, for a basketball, like, Turner's also going to have the rights to this NIL tournament out here in Las Vegas, right? They're slowly getting into more college athletics outside of the NCAA tournament, which, you know, they have the rights to. So if this conference comes to, I could certainly see them being the, you know, flagship for the new Pac-12.
That makes some sense. The only thing I would say in response to that is the way that you get the best deal or the most money is by getting multiple bidders. So can you get...
Hey, man, the CW's out there.
Can you get the CW in there that's willing to shell out some coin? Really, it would help if you could somehow get, you know, Fox or ESPN, although they both seem pretty... Or CBS to a certain degree, but CBS kind of feels like they've been... The one I'm kind of watching also a little bit, but I know they just paid so much for the NBA. It feels like ESPN is... Or I'm begging your pardon, NBC is trying to...
Yeah,
really beef up the cock, if you will.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they've got a pretty much a triple header every week, you know. And I know once the non conference games go away, they may have less. But no, you're absolutely right. I mean, NBC is getting more involved in the live sports world with, but they're spending money on the NBA. You got to remember that too.
That's the holdup, and apparently. That is going to maybe take them out of it. So let's set aside the money part of it, because I'm someone who's obviously,
because, like, you also got to think too. You know, I don't know, and I just found an article here. How long is the Mountain West deal with? Oh, so here's a big one.
I think it's through 27,
Mountain West,
right?
Mountain West with CBS, I think, is through 26. So that is perfect timing. So CBS probably scoops up the Pac-12, wouldn't you think?
I would think that they're... To me, it's like you just need to get them involved in the bidding. Who cares if it ends up going exclusively to Turner or whatnot?
It's
like,
it's not going
to
be exclusive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Big 12 has three media partners. The Big 10 has three media... Like, ultimately what happens, and once again, maybe John Canzano knows this stuff a lot better.
So I can let me butt in on the Big Ten one. The Big Ten technically has one media partner in Fox. Fox licenses out the games to CBS and NBC, but they still, them and the league, I think it's 51% Fox owns the Big Ten network, and then 49% league, or it's flip-flopped, it's one or the other. One owns 51%. The league, the conference owns 51, or Fox owns 51, the other owns 49. And then they are basically doing the same thing that Turner is doing from ESPN with the playoff games. So they're technically, like, putting the rights out. So, like, we're watching it on CBS and NBC, but the original rights still belong to Fox.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
So, to me...
It seems like at the end of the day... Memphis, there's mutual interest, and I think as you do your pros and cons list, it seems like the pros outweigh the cons.
So the argument...
The AAC is now watered down. It's not what it once was, right?
Oh, I mean, let's call it what it is. The AAC is Conference USA.
Right. And Conference USA has become an FCS conference.
Correct.
It's crap. So...
SoCon, yeah.
What the Pac-12 is essentially trying to form is a, and I'm using this in the most quotes around it as possible, the super conference of the group of five. Like, the best group of five teams out there that at this point in time, Power Four conferences don't seem to have a ton of interest in. Look, Boise State being in this conference is a big deal. That is a big brand. I know Boise, Idaho is not a big city, but that is a notable brand. They spend a ton of money on athletics. They have big fan base. all of these programs, there's a reason they were cherry-picked. They, like Colorado State, who just got their doors blown off this weekend and may or may not just be an awful football program right now, they spend money, though. And that's the thing. That's why Jay Norvell left Nevada to go to Colorado State. They spend money, and they're in a relatively big market there in Fort Collins. So there's a reason they went after those four programs. Fresno's kind of interesting to me because, from my understanding, I don't think they're, from a financial standpoint, they're doing all that well. It's kind of a, you would know, you know, California geography more than I. Fresno's not like a big city by any stretch.
Fresno is, if you did not know that it was in California, you would think it was like Heartland America farmland.
Yeah, it's like in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah, and it's just, it's farming.
But they've got, you know, they've got a tradition for college football, and they've always had a pretty good football program. So I guess that makes sense for them to go into this conference. Yeah, and I think if they grab Tulane and Memphis, my guess would be UNLV and maybe Nevada would be next. It doesn't sound like Cal and Stanford are coming back based off of the reporting that's out there, but who knows? And then if you're able to convince Gonzaga to come down as a non-football member, that's a pretty good conference, right? That, I mean, that's appealing for on multiple fronts.
Yeah, so the real prisoner's dilemma that they are in is, and again, I could be proven wrong, but I still believe there's going to be some upheaval in the ACC. The question then becomes, does that mean that just Florida State, Clemson, and, you know, maybe Miami leave? And at that point, they're going to have to backfill. Well, would your number be called next if you're Memphis?
Right.
So, like, you have that. It's also entirely possible that Florida State and Clemson get this thing tied up in the courts and they can't figure out a way out and they're just stuck there for a while. And then you have the other scenario with the ACC, which I think is very much on the table. Florida State and Clemson are, Florida State in particular, being the mouthpiece of the bad guy faction, but everybody wants out that can get out because North Carolina knows. No one's dumb here. Everyone sees the amount of money that the Big Ten and the SEC are getting, and they know that they could go to either for a full share. Virginia's likely in the same scenario. And so do you have enough schools that could latch on to the SEC and the Big Ten that would cause the league to fold or to at least not have, you know, be in the situation that the Pac-12 was in, which is everybody's left and you have two left that don't really have a value. And so at that point, your TV deal gets ripped up and you're left without a home. So if you're Memphis, you're rooting for scenario one. If you just have a couple teams leave or a handful of teams lead and the rest of the league decides to stay together, there's an opportunity for you to go there. I just think that on the list of possibilities, that one seems the least likely because I think if some get out, I think it's going to open up Pandora's box and the rest of them are going to try to get out. So now the complicating factor is, if I'm right, okay, the ACC is basically, everyone's now, you would be Memphis and you go from being at the front of the line getting in to now perhaps being at the back of the line because Louisville, NC State, Duke, Syracuse, Pitt, BC, you know, Vatek, those schools are now closely, you know, possibly on the market. And so the Big 12 is going to likely want to take most of those teams or take the ones they want. And then all of a sudden, if you say no to the Pac-12, you are completely left without a home. So to me, it's almost like you just kind of have to distill it down to this. I fully acknowledge money is going to play a role in it, but you kind of have to bet on the long-term future. This league has a much better chance of being a part of whatever the universe is than what you're currently in. And you still don't, if you were going to be in the Big 12, if they really wanted you, there was nothing stopping them from taking you now. And the same thing for the ACC. And yet again, you've been left on the sidelines. To me, your best shot is hitching your wagon to this. And then you can also hope for this. You can also still hope the ACC breaks up. Because then if the ACC breaks up, now you've got an opportunity with the Pac-12 where the Pac-12 can scoop up what's left out. And now you can have the coast-to-coast best of the rest league that you're talking about. Have a West division, have an East division, have them meet in the middle, you know, for travel and for everything, and now that conference becomes way more appealing.
Yeah, I think you laid it out well, because my question would be, okay, to your scenario, and by the way, the ACC as a conference, from everything that we've learned, is going to fight tooth and nail to keep Clemson and Florida State and Miami there. I don't think an immediacy is coming. I could be wrong, but I don't think that's going to get resolved because they have them. The grant of rights is until, like, what, 2037?
Yes, there is also one fact that gets left out of that grant of rights. ESPN, I believe, has an option starting in 27 to extend it through 36. I've always questioned whether or not Florida State is trying to win this court battle or if they're trying to create enough of a mess to where ESPN just goes, all right, we're good. We've got all the money tied up in other things. Like, we'll help navigate the parts that we want to the SEC, and, you know, then.
Well, and that's the thing too, right? Now that ESPN is in bed with the SEC, do they become a little bit more willing to allow the bigger fish to leave? So let's say, as we've been playing this out, this scenario out, okay, Florida State, Clemson, Miami, North Carolina, and Virginia all leave to go to different conferences. Is that conference more appealing than what the Pac-12 is creating? I don't know the answer to that.
Probably from a local perspective, because
you still would have Duke in there, but,
and you get Louisville in there, NC State. Your travel's nowhere near as brutal.
Sure.
But the problem is you're taking a risk if you're going to sit there and go, we're going to hold out. Like, it seems very obvious right now you have a seat at this table if you want it. Are you going to have a seat? You know what I mean? Like, if you keep stalling and stalling and stalling, do they eventually not have the opportunity for you? And then you really risk. If the end result, to me, is if you take that route, you put on the table the possibility of your only option is to remain in this version of the AAC, and that's the worst version. That's the worst outcome, in my opinion.
And I think living in the now, right, you know, currently, that's a big what if game, right?
For
how
sure.
How it all plays out. This is happening, and there's interest, and how long, you know, that whole Big 12 situation where they were interested in what, like 40 schools, and they ultimately didn't pick any of them, or that was the Pac-12, whatever.
No, that was the Big 12 when they were trying to distract.
Like, make your pitch.
That was when they were trying to distract everyone from the Baylor scandal.
Right. Make your pitch to us. So it seems like this is a good situation brewing for Memphis to get out of a conference that, you know, let's be honest, it's not great. And, you know, bringing Tulane with them from a football standpoint, those are the two best programs, if you want to say UTSA, but they've kind of fallen off quite a bit this year. So
turns out maybe Frank Harris had more to do with it than,
yeah, Dr. Frank Harris, uh-huh, apparently was very beneficial to that football program, apparently, that just got its clock cleaned. So look, South Florida, they got some money, I guess, but I think this is the move that you should be making right now for both football and I think basketball as well.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, that's another part of this equation where basketball is going to obviously matter to Memphis. It's clearly not been what the driving force of realignment has been. But
I mean, this is, once again, as I pointed out, like, San Diego State just went to the national championship in basketball. Colorado State, Boise State have both had at-large bids in recent years.
Well, I mean, how many teams? I mean, no one leads the charge of making fun of the Mountain West in terms of number of bids like I do. With that said, they got 6 bids. The AAC got 2.
Right.
And it's entirely possible this year, Tim, they get 1. Like, you know what I mean? You're going to clearly a better football league, and you're going to a better basketball league. One kind of under the radar hesitation that I have, and we're gonna take a break and get to John Canzano and let an expert talk to us rather than just two idiots that sit with a microphone in front of themselves. I do have a little worry of when you go to a league that's this spread out and whatnot, like, are you making it inherently harder on yourself? Because, like, these road trips are going to be brutal. And now, granted, when they come play you, the same applies. But, like, I do wonder if we kind of overlook the logistics of a league like this.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, it's definitely going to be a challenge. I think not being in the Eastern time zone helps. I think that just is one hurdle that you avoid. So you're not traveling, you know, from the Eastern time zone to the Pacific time zone. But it's definitely a challenge logistically, no doubt, when you think about the non-revenue sports too. I mean, that's the thing that we always overlook is like, what about the soccer team? You know, and we do have to get to a point, and this is a discussion for another day. Can we just have an honest conversation as adults and be like, basketball and football make the money. They can be national conferences. Can we just put the non-revenue sports in regional conferences?
Yeah, I think it's eventually going to get there, but
I think it will.
I think we really have to sort out football first, and then once you sort out football, then they'll figure out basketball, and then I think that's what they'll do. But the problem is, you know, you're going to need leadership to do that. And, well, we haven't really seen any of that.
That's a bit of an issue.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, John Canzano, the man that broke the news that Memphis and Tulane are targets for the Pac-12, he joins us next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John Canzano is a longtime columnist out in Portland, Oregon. You can now read all of his work at johncanzano.com. Make sure you subscribe to that. His radio programs, The Bald Faced Truth, airing weekdays, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 Pacific time. He is on Twitter at JohnCanzanoBFT. Kind enough to join us today because John breaks the news that Tulane and Memphis indeed will be targets of the new Pac-12. And I guess let's start there, John. How serious do you think these conversations are?
Well, I think they're really serious. I think everybody knows that, it's Darwinian what's going on out there. But, you know, the schools that bring media value are coveted right now. And when you look at the available markets and the Pac-12's plan to sort of form this conference that will have access to the playoff and maximum media dollars, that you start to think about Memphis and Tulane, and I am told that they are at the top of the Pac-12's list and that there will be a meeting this week. And, you know, I don't expect anything imminent. I don't think it's going to be like a Wednesday night or a Thursday night announcement, but the Pac-12 is definitely interested in these two schools, and I think the interest is mutual.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, John, was the mutual interest. You know, we were just talking about it and kind of batting it around. Is this the best move for Memphis? And I would say, based on the current landscape, yes. We were talking about the possibility of, you know, what happens with the ACC. So, in your opinion, for Memphis, the current landscape of the AAC, I believe they have the best media rights deal going for Group of Five. What's your understanding about what's next for the Pac-12 from a media rights standpoint?
Well, they've got to form this conference first, and I think it's why they're interested in Memphis and Tulane in particular, and probably one other school. I think they're going to go to 9. They're currently at 6, but you know, once they form the conference, they'll go, the media rights, they'll go to market with it. And the media consultants that I know and trust tell me that this conference will not only be at the front of the line right now, because, you look at who else is out there trying to negotiate, they'll be the only ones in line. The Mountain West Conference doesn't have, after you take those 4 schools away and maybe a 5th school in UNLV, doesn't have media value, and you've got some new players in the space like the CW and some of the streamers that we've watched this season sort of dip their foot into the college football space. So I think, you know, San Diego State and Boise State give you a great indicator. You know, they weren't just leaving the Mountain West Conference because they thought they could get a parallel deal. They were running towards something. In fact, one of the school's athletic directors at one of those schools told me that we're not running away from something, we're running towards something. They must have seen some media rights valuations that were encouraging to them. The Pac-12 is definitely trying to position itself as the number 5 conference in the ecosystem. And for people who don't know what that signifies, the college football playoff, there's a lot of confusion about the format. It's 5. The top 5 highest-ranked conference champions get automatic bids. Nobody is guaranteed. No conference is guaranteed an automatic bid. Top 5 highest-ranked conference champions. So the Pac-12 is trying to position itself in every year or in most years to get one of those 5 berths and have regular access.
We're talking with John Canzano, the man that reported the news that Memphis and Tulane are indeed targets of the new Pac-12. I guess that's kind of the follow-up I would have that to that question, John. It's one thing for media consultants to say this would be the value, and it's another thing to take it to market. Is there any fear that this is kind of how the Pac-12 wound up in the state that it's in because they believed that they had a certain value of their properties, and then they went to market and they weren't getting the value that they thought, and lo and behold, the Big 12 jumps the line. Is there any concern that maybe there's not a deal to be done?
Yeah, I think, you know, the Pac-12 obviously made mistakes, horrible mistakes with leadership. The conference commissioner, I don't think he managed his presidents very well. You know, I had reported previously that Utah's president, Taylor Randall, was the person who initially floated the valuation of $50 million per school, which is ridiculous. And he got support from Stanford and some others. And you've got a bunch of academics in the room who don't really understand media rights.
Right.
It really was incumbent upon the commissioner to manage that room, and George Kliavkov did not. And his media consultants, sports media advisors, they didn't have a lot of experience in that space. And so I think it was that combination that, you know, ended up being a tragic and unfortunate development for the Pac-12 is, you know, they countered at $50 million and ESPN went, thank you very much, we're not even close, we'll just go to the Big 12. And that really caused that first huge domino to fall as they were negotiating. The Pac-12 now has Navigate as a consulting firm that is involved, and I think that firm, you know, has got a great reputation, knows the space. They're going to need some help on the media rights front. That's not their specialty. But Navigate does a really good job of, you know, they were involved in the Big Ten's expansion and others. They do a really good job of evaluating the marketplace and knowing what value you bring. And so I think they are assisting the Pac-12 on that front. Clearly, San Diego State, Boise State, Fresno State, Colorado State could have stayed in the Mountain West, where they are positioned as kind of the fifth best, you know, conference when you look at the G5. But they saw an opportunity to move, share less of the media pie with, you know, the bottom feeders of the conference, and get access to the playoffs. So I think they're confident that it's there. The group of six are making this decision now. This is not a Pac-2 decision as it pertains to Memphis and Tulane possibly joining the Pac-12. This is a, you know, the six-pack or the Pac-12 as a six-member entity that will make the decision.
John, is there any thoughts, and I know anytime you hear about expansion, the name Gonzaga gets brought up. I know football runs the world, especially from a money standpoint, but you're looking at this conference right now, Memphis with its history in college basketball, San Diego State making the national championship 2 years ago, Boise State and Colorado State have had some recent success on the hardwood. Is Gonzaga being discussed at all as possibly being a target for them as a non-football member? Would they have any interest?
Yeah, I think, you know, Gonzaga is restless. Let's start there. Gonzaga also hired Navigate, the same firm that's working with the Pac-12. So, you know, I put those things together and I go, gosh, there just seems to be some synergy here. I am being told to pump the brakes on Gonzaga to the Pac-12 because, you know, as the insiders who are involved with this tell me, they say, look, this is a football-driven expansion. Basketball, yes, 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 great byproduct. There's value in basketball. But when you look at media rights dollars, you know, at best case scenario, 80 cents on the dollar, you know, attributed to football. Probably more realistic to say it's been more like 85 cents on the dollar in the last few years. So this is definitely a decision that is being driven by football. As a strategy play, though, I'm looking at what the Pac-12 is putting together with Boise State, San Diego State, Colorado State, all recent NCAA tournament teams, Memphis, terrific basketball program with great history. And I can't help but wander, my mind wanders to Gonzaga. And, you know, they're not going to the Big 12 imminently. They're not going to the Big East. How restless are they? Are they willing to sit tight in the WCC and see what happens? Or do they make a move with maybe another partner as a basketball-only addition? And is that partner St. Mary's? Is it Grand Canyon? You know, I think those kinds of things are being talked about by the Pac-12.
We're talking with John Canzano, his website, johncanzano.com, his radio program, The Bald-Faced Truth. You can always download the podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. And then I think the other question, John, is the financials of this all. We saw, I think, the American schools that just left to go to the Big 12. I think they paid $17 million. You get conflicting reports about how much money that the Pac-2 right now are currently sitting on in the war chest. Do we have any idea how the financial mechanics of this is going to work out?
Yeah, they're being really guarded about it, and I understand why. I think, you know, the Pac-12 does not want anything out there right now as it pertains to how much of the buyouts are they paying. Are they paying any of that? You know, there's some poaching penalties they might have to pay the Mountain West. They're not talking about any of this. They are saying that revenue distribution in this new world Pac-12 will be merit-based. So I think there's going to be some rewards for the teams that earn the NCAA tournament units. There's going to be a bonus for teams that get to the playoff. All of that, you know, seems to be stuff that the Big 12 and ACC and others have explored. But I don't think they want this stuff out there because I think they know there's a negotiation that will happen here with you know, at least two more schools. I'm told they want to get to nine. They're sitting at six. They have to get to eight by July 1st, 2026. So this is either two or three members coming in. Right now, I think at the top of the list, it's Memphis and Tulane. I think after that, I think there's some interest in UNLV. Again, there's some basketball synergy there. And then a dark horse that entered the chat late last week, I was told that South Florida contacted the Pac-12 and inquired about membership, and they want to kick the tires a little bit. You know, everybody who's on the outside is trying to get in on the inside of, you know, the schools and the conferences that are going to have access to the playoff, going to have more revenue. You know, the American, I do not blame the American one bit for exploring Air Force and looking at UNLV. They may have to backfill here if schools leave to the Pac-12.
John, you mentioned UNLV. I live in Vegas. Jeffrey, of course, there in Memphis. And I'm curious, because when the initial four teams were announced, I was a bit surprised that UNLV was not among those four teams. They're putting more money into the football program. They play at Allegiant Stadium. They have the history from a standpoint of college basketball. What's the holdup in the on UNLV? Because I thought that would be a no-brainer for the Pac-12, knowing that it's a pretty big city. That could be their hub. All their championships, like in the past, could be played in Las Vegas. Is it a government situation where they want Nevada to be a part of it? How is the UNLV thing playing out?
Well, you weren't the only one. Like, on Wednesday night, when I first got tipped that, you know, something was going on, I thought UNLV would be the fourth school when I heard four schools. And I thought, gosh, is it Colorado State or Fresno State for the fourth? And then when I saw the names of the four schools, I went, wow, like, what happened with UNLV? And I don't, you know, lots of people have been asking that. The connection with Nevada is real. There is a political tie between those two schools. They share a board of regents in the state of Nevada. Now, there's some precedent for separating them. UNLV, for example, left the Big West to go to the WAC in 1994. The governor of the state of Nevada is a UNLV grad. You know, if UNLV wants to matter, they may have to make this split regardless. But I think the reason that they weren't announced with the four has to do with how secretive it needed to be. I think that group of four knew that if they tried to separate Nevada, UNLV, this was going to get public. There was going to have to be a Board of Regents meeting. The commissioner of the Mountain West, Gloria Navarez, may have caught wind of it by then. And so I think there was a real effort with the original four in sort of the first bite of the apple for the Pac-12. There was a real effort to keep it tight-knit, to keep it secretive. They didn't want anybody else to know about it. And I think they knew if they brought UNLV into the equation that it was going to get complicated. And so I think that's why UNLV wasn't originally included. I think they're a player here. I know they're not at the top of the list because, you know, you're talking about market 40 to 50, even if you're projecting, you know, population, you're talking about, you know, not a lot of football history. The brand of UNLV football, even though they're good this year, hasn't traditionally been there. But I just think the idea that they're in the Western footprint, the idea that you could get access to an NFL stadium, it's a good enough media market. You know, certainly when you compare it to Fresno and you compare it to you know, some of the four new members that just came in from the Mountain West, it's comparable in that way. So I do think UNLV is the potential number nine school. Or if Memphis and Tulane don't end up coming to the Pac-12, it could be a UNLV and someone else conversation. But I would lean towards UNLV being school number nine, Memphis and Tulane getting in as 7 and 8. And I think the Pac-12 will pause there because I do think they're holding out hope that, you know, in the next few years, one or more of those schools that departed may have some second thoughts.
How realistic is that?
Not very, but I understand why they're keeping the seat warm.
Sure.
Like, you know, Stanford and Cal, it makes no sense for them to be in the ACC. It makes as much sense as Tulane and Memphis to the Pac-12,
right,
though. You know, so we're in this era of realignment that geography doesn't matter, tradition doesn't seem to matter, unfortunately. It's about media money, value, access to the playoff. The love language of college football has shifted from tailgates and rivalries and tradition to what we see now. But if you're the Pac-12, you know, you need to stay nimble. Your plan is to get to, you know, playoff access and position yourself for whatever comes next. You want your schools to be on the right side of the line if the super conferences, you know, include, you know, as many as 48 or 50 schools, you suddenly have, you can make an argument for some of these Pac-12 schools to be included. And in the meantime, you know, if Stanford or Cal or UCLA get tired of getting their teeth kicked in the Big Ten and the ACC, or if the ACC implodes, you're not so big that you can't say, hey, we'll take you in a heartbeat. Because I think the Pac-12, in its heart of hearts, wants to be a regional conference tied mostly to the Pacific Coast.
Well, that was going to be my final question for you. How much concern is there that you have, you know, six schools that, you know, I know most people in the middle part of the country do not realize that, you know, how far Oregon and San Diego are, but they're like, they're close on a map, but they're not really that close. Like, how much concern, though, is there that you're taking two schools that are, like, by definition, west of the Mississippi, and that you're going to have the rest of the six on the West Coast?
Yeah, I bounced that off a couple of Pac-12 sources, in, you know, in particular, Scott Barnes, the athletic director at Oregon State. And I asked him on Saturday, I cornered him in the press box during the football game, because this stuff's way more important probably than some of the things that are happening on the field. And I said, you know, am I wrong to look east? And he said, geography will not be a factor in this. And I find that interesting, because the Pac-12, you know, for a while there was going, hey, the geography doesn't work with Oregon and Washington in the Big Ten, and the geography doesn't work with Stanford and Cal in the ACC. I think they've wrapped their head around the idea that right now what matters is media value. There are just not that many G5 schools that are out there that bring real value. I was at Big Ten Media Day in Indianapolis in the summer, and one of the athletic directors of one of the Big Ten schools said to me, hey, you know, there's only about eight schools out there that have any value at all. Why don't they just band together? Well, here we are.
Did it ever strike you that you were covering an Oregon meeting day, media day in Indianapolis?
No, I mean, yeah. Oregon put that duck in the middle of the river in downtown Indy.
That was awesome, though.
You know, it's awesome, but it's never going to feel right. Like, yeah. I covered Big Ten basketball and football in the late 90s, and, you know, I can't imagine. I would never have dreamed that USC would be in that conference and UCLA, and it just all feels so convoluted and weird. It's a game of musical chairs. I don't think the music's stopped yet. We're going to see more. There's going to be more consolidation, but you know, I get why these schools are all running towards the money. They want to matter. They know they need money to exist in college athletics as it's moving forward. And for the rest of us, I mean, I just think there's a loss of the regionality of the sport that everybody is simultaneously lamenting while also recognizing that these schools have to do what's best for themselves ultimately.
John, you're great to join us. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Keep up the fight.
JohnCanzano.com. The Bald-Faced Truth is his radio program. You can listen to that in podcast form, I should say, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, I've got my initial immediate reaction. You ready?
It's happening.
Yeah, Memphis better do it.
Yeah, it's happening, and it was interesting to hear John say that their target is nine. So clearly for football, you're talking about a full-on round robin, which I like. Everyone plays everyone. You have four non-conference games, and
16 basketball games. Everybody plays each other, yeah.
And then maybe you – yeah, this is the old ACC. This is what the ACC used to do. I really, maybe I'm a romantic. I would love Gonzaga to join this conference. I think that would be phenomenal for hoops. I know, like I said to John, I get it that basketball, like the Big East has clearly said, we're a basketball conference, right? I mean, that's obvious. They don't have an FBS level football, you know, program, and that's fine. Like, they have decent money, Fox money. And I'm not saying this conference would rival them. The Big 12 has gotten better, but you know, UConn is in the Big East, and they've won national championships the last 2 years. If you bring in Gonzaga, and look, Grand Canyon has got stupid money, and they've got a pretty good program, and they should have beat Alabama this year if they didn't completely, you know, pee down their leg. So they had a chance to go to the Sweet 16. I don't know. St. Mary's, I feel like, to me, it would make more sense from a financial standpoint to go get Grand Canyon. It feels like there's staying power there than St. Mary's, which may just be based solely off of an awesome coach and Randy Bennett there. But I would love that, but it's happening. And I think Also, what I gathered from John was eventually the state of Nevada, like the state of California and Oregon and Washington, is going to say, all right, fine, you can go UNLV by yourself. And that's your ninth member. And that's a pretty good conference, you know, with a lot of basketball tradition and some pretty good football programs as well.
Yeah, and if you have nine schools, you have now solidified yourself as being a potential landing spot. If you do have a situation
right.
where there's
legal room where you can add more schools, right?
Correct. If the ACC does fall apart, okay, well now you can take the leftovers there. You can reorganize, do West, East, and then you know go to market again with your TV program. I don't know. I kind of think Texas used to use this line for why they were going to the SEC. It's not about this TV deal. It's about like the next three or four TV deals. I'm kind of leaning towards. Even if maybe you're taking a hit at the front, if you're Memphis financially, I just think this is your best path to survival.
Well, and I think, too, what John pointed out, which is something that needs to be brought up, in the bylaws of the college football playoff, he's right. There's no auto bids for the Big 12, SEC, ACC, and Big Ten. However, we know that those four conference champions are going to be ranked higher than the Group of Five champ. If you make this conference happen, you're pretty much locking in an auto bid, right? Like
I think so. I mean, in fairness, can't they rewrite the rules in 2 years anyway?
Yeah.
I do think the better point is if we are correct and that this is eventually moving towards the power structure breaking away, you're assembling enough of a conference that might have a chance of being included in whatever that universe is.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But I mean, and once again, like you,
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.